Let us turn to Psalm chapter 25. Psalm chapter 25. And we will read verse 1 through 5. Psalm 25, verse 1 through 5. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in thee I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. In thee none of those who wait for thee will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art God of my salvation. For thee I wait all day long. Let's turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. We will read the last two verses. Psalm 27, the last two verses. I would have despair unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that even though we are just mere human beings, and so unworthy to even come before you. And yet, Lord, you desire that we come and draw near to you. And that's exactly what we're doing this morning. Lord, we pray that you be with us and that you will speak to each and every heart and that your light, the light of the Holy Spirit, will enlighten us so that we would come to know what it is in your heart. So that we will be made to become a person that is a suitable vessel for your own use. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many today's are in the crossroad in life. And many of us, we have issues like schooling, careers, or seeking a future partner, like a future spouse. We need God to guide us. And in the matter of seeking direction from God, there is a very precious lesson that all Christians must learn today. And that lesson is waiting on the Lord. We know that the saints of the past history have shown us that they have learned this lesson, all of them. They have learned this lesson well. For example, if you take a look at the life of Abraham, God promised him a son, but he waited until the age of 100 before he received Isaac. If we take a look at Joseph, he had a dream when he was about 17 years old. His dream was that his brothers would bow down before him, would worship him. But then again, it was only at the age of 30 that he was made to be the prime minister of Egypt. We can take a look at Moses, for example. He wanted to deliver his people out of the oppression of the Egyptians. But Moses waited 40 years in the desert before God called him into this ministry. And we can also take a look at the Israelites who came out of Egypt, but they wander in the wilderness. They waited 40 years before they finally enter into the promised land. We can take a look at, for example, David. He was anointed by Samuel when he was at his youth. But then again, he was persecuted by Saul, running around in the wilderness, hiding in caves, until he was finally made king at the age of 30. We know that when it comes to the matter of waiting on God, David is a person who has written many, many beautiful psalms in this subject. The two psalms that we mentioned, for example, in Psalm 25 that we just read, David prayed, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemy triumph over me. Let no one who waits on the Lord be put to shame." And David said, "I wait for you all day long." That's what he said. Now you may wonder, our God, he is an invisible God. How on earth would David be able to wait on God all day long? How is it possible? And yet, to David, this matter, this practice, this lesson of waiting on God is a reality. It's a practical thing to him. And in Psalm 27, again, he said that I would have this despair unless I believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait on the Lord. We know that also in the New Testament, this matter of waiting on the Lord is becoming very obvious. We are told that we need to wait for the Lord's second return. We are to eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter told us that not only that we should wait, but he said that we should actually be looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. And in the book of Revelation, the last chapter, three times the Lord said, "I am coming quickly." He said that my reward is with me, and to render to every man according to what they have done. This is the Lord telling us that yes, he is coming back, and he is coming back very quickly. And John responded to the Lord. He said, "Come, Lord Jesus." Brothers and sisters, this is the voice of someone with his entire life waiting before the Lord, waiting for the Lord's return. Now, in addition to the ultimate goal of waiting for the second coming of the Lord today, as we live in this earth, there are many daily decisions that we need to make, direction that we need to ask God to show us. We need to wait on the Lord to show us his way, because he is the all-wise God. He knows what is ahead. He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. We are not to go around by ourselves to find our own way. No, we're not supposed to do that, because we have a shepherd. He is a good shepherd. He is able to lead us. We are not supposed to make decisions contrary to God's way. We are supposed to follow the shepherd. We are supposed to keep in step with the Lord in our path of life. We are to wait for the Lord. We are supposed to ask the Lord to show us what we need to do before we proceed, because we know that whatever the Lord has provided for us would be the very best for us. Now, what does it mean to wait on God? Will God be always late that we need to wait on him? Is God a procrastinator? As if we wait for a friend, for example, if you set up an appointment with a friend, and then you set up a certain time, a meeting place, and then you stand there for half an hour, and your friend hasn't shown up. Have you ever had this kind of experience? I don't remember if I have. But I think some of you might have this kind of experience, okay? And we have the sense that, well, maybe God always wants to make us wait. The fact of the matter is, we need to ask ourselves, are we waiting for God, or is God waiting for us? If you take a look at the story of the prodigal son and the father, who is waiting there? Who is waiting outside of the door? Isn't that the Heavenly Father, who has been looking out, waiting for his prodigal to return to return home? I think in one of the stanzas in our hymn, 251, it says in there that, Holy Spirit, how hast thou waited for our heart to slowly turn back to you? How often has thy love been slighted? Well, we grieve you. And for us, to wait on God means to pause for further instruction from God. You ask, God, what is my next step? What is my next move that I need to take? So, to wait on God means it is an attitude of being on the alert to the moving of the Holy Spirit at all time. It ought to be the lifestyle, the kind of lifestyle for Christian today. This is not something that is sort of a one-time thing or occasional thing. It should be a lifestyle for us. As we are waiting on God, how do we know that God is speaking to us? How do we know that, yeah, this is what the Lord is showing us, that this is the next step that you ought to take? Now, God will reveal himself to us, first of all, through his written word, the Bible that we have in here. How should I handle a certain situation in life? What direction? Where should I go to work? Or where should I live? Or how should I invest? The word of the Lord is living and active. The word of the Lord is actually the voice of God instructing us what we need to do. The word of the Lord is actually the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. Psalm 119, verse 130, it tells us, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple, to simple people like us. When the word of the Lord comes to us, we immediately know that, aha, this is what the Lord is telling me as to what I need to do as my next step. His word is very real and timely for us, even though this Bible was written years ago, and yet its words apply to us in our daily life. There are times that just recently I was meditating on Romans 8, and one night the Lord all of a sudden opened up a verse in me. That verse, I know it by heart. I understand it with my mind. And yet that night, all of a sudden, that word, that verse has changed from logos to rhema. And it just shined through light to me. And exactly, I know what the Lord is trying to show me, what the Lord is trying to tell me. We need to wait before the Lord to allow his word to speak to our hearts. When I say the word, do not just think that, well, okay, yeah, I have read the Bible, I kind of know what the Bible has to say. No. In order for the word of the Lord to become timely to us, to become effective to us, to become applicable to us, we need the Holy Spirit to once again breathe into his word, and all of a sudden you are enlightened. You know exactly what you've been missing. That's what we need. The Lord will reveal himself through his word. And the second thing is the the Lord will reveal himself through the fellowship and the sharings from others. For example, if you come to a Sunday message or Friday night fellowship, or you will, through the fellowship, through the message, God is actually speaking to you. God will use others' sharing to speak to your heart, to let you know of your disobedience. God can actually speak to you in so many different ways. He can speak to you through your parents. He can speak to you through your children. He can speak to you through your co-workers, your friends, even the non-believing friends. You know what? God can still use them to speak to you, sometimes to put you to shame because of our disobedience. And the third thing that God can speak to us that we would know, if God will speak to us through our circumstances. You notice that this is of the Lord when the circumstances around you change. And you would know that, okay, since the Lord has changed my circumstance, then you know that this is the time for you to take the next step. For example, Elijah. He was fled by a raven at Cherith by the brook. He was there for a long time, and then finally the water from the brook became dry. And he knew that this is the time that he need to go to Zarephath to minister to the need of the widow and the son. Many times we need to understand that our circumstances are governed by the Lord. The changes of our circumstances is to show us that it is time to move on. Let's say if you work in a company, and if your company go bankrupt, guess what? It's time to move on. I remember when I was just about finishing my university. And then I have a great plan for myself as to what I was going to do next. And then just 2 months before graduation, the Lord all of a sudden changed my circumstance. He made it possible that I should move up to Vancouver. And then coming to Vancouver was never in my mind at all. But then again, the Lord changed my circumstance. And I know that, okay, so this is what you want me to go, where you want me to go, what you want me to do. So the Lord speak to us through changed circumstances. We need to know that the Lord controls our circumstance. Why God wants us to wait? From man's perspective, when we pray to God, God answers our prayer with either a yes, which we all like, because then this is the green light. Or the Lord will say no, and which is what we don't like. But then again, we have to thank God for the no's that He gave us. Because oftentimes He wants to make sure that we won't stray away from Him. It is for our protection from falling into the trap of the enemy. The Lord will say no. But you know what? More often than not, God will say yes, but wait. You wait. In fact, in that psalm that we just read, David said that two times. He said, wait on the Lord. Yes, wait on the Lord. You know that to wait on the Lord in the 21st century is a very hard thing. Very hard. Everything, we call ourselves the now generation. Everything has to be instant. We have instant noodle, instant coffee. The other day when I went to Burger King, I bought a Whopper, and there's a little sign up there saying that if your meal is not served in 10 minutes, the bill is on us. I really want to time this. We want everything instant. When I travel, If possible, I want to make sure that I take the carry on rather than those luggage where you would have to put it into the check in. Because why? Because as soon as I arrive, I don't need to wait for my luggage. I would just haul my carry-on and just head out to the door of the airport. We have no patience today. No one wants to wait for nobody, bottom line. But the thing is, it is wise to wait because God gives us, He gives us clear direction. Many times, instead of waiting for God's direction, you know what we would do? We would just simply look around to our peers and we find out what they're doing and we follow their direction. We want to live like them, in other words. Oftentimes, this is a big mistake. The reason is because these peers, these friends around us, they do not have the same kind of life as you do. They do not have the same destination as you do. They are the citizen of the world, and you are the citizen of heaven. Paul said, "What fellowship has light with darkness? What has a believer in common with an unbeliever?" God is willing to give us direction in schooling, in career, in your future partner, in all of these things, in business deal, in direction in life. God promised us. He said, "I will instruct you and teach you the way you ought to go. I will guide you with my eyes." That's His promise. But then again, you say, "Well, I know I should wait for God's instruction and direction, but I have a problem. The problem I have is that I feel that God is not responding to my request. I feel that God is taking too long for Him to respond. I feel that God is almost like a tormentor to me. When I ask God for something, He just keeps me in suspense. He's not just coming forward and just say yes or no, and let me get on with life." We say that, "Well, God, I mean, just tell me yes or no, and then I'll get on with life." But a lot of the time, God will not do that. Why God wants us to wait? Now, we need to take a look at this thing from God's perspective. Number one, the reason why God wants us to wait is to get us to keep in step with Him, sifting our motives. That's what we need to know. Sometimes what we want to do is right. Indeed, God confirmed that this is what He wants us to do. But then again, God said, "Wait. Don't do it. Wait." Why? Why would God want us to wait if what we're trying to do is right? The reason is because our motives may not be right. Maybe we want to do this thing out of self-interest, not for God. For example, Moses wanted to deliver his people from the hand of Pharaoh at the age of 40. Okay? We know that Moses is the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he was well-educated in Egypt. He was a powerful man. He thought to himself that he is a capable deliverer of his own people. And we know the story when he went out there, when he saw an Egyptian beating the two Israelites, and he killed the Egyptian. But the next morning, he noticed that the two Hebrews, they were fighting each other. And then he was trying to make peace, trying to reconcile them. And then one of the guy would then say that, "Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Who makes you to be our deliverer?" And at this saying, Moses knew that Pharaoh was going to find out that he killed the Egyptian, and as a result, he fled. He fled to the Midian desert. In here, we see that Moses tried to make himself Israel's deliverer, but he has no idea at that point that he was too big for God to use him. Because he tried to do God's work with man's wisdom, with man's power. He could not be Israel's deliverer, when he tried to deliver the people from the palace of Egypt, he could not do that. He has to come down from the throne, and he has to take a humble place before God before he can be of any use to God. We need to let the Holy Spirit to search our heart, to see if there is any hidden motive, self-interest, hidden wicked ways in us. Remember, the word of the Lord is active and living and sharper than the two-edged sword, and it will be able to judge the thought and the intention of our heart, the hidden intention of our heart. Moses had to wait for another 40 years in the Midian desert, where God sifted out his wrong motives in this matter of who is the true deliverer of God's people. Moses could not run ahead of God. If we are in step with God, brothers and sisters, remember this, God will be responsible. If you keep yourself in step with God, God is the one who will be responsible for you. Now, when you're sort of waiting there for God, your friends will be saying, why are you just doing nothing? Why are you just sitting in your hole and while all your other friends, they're doing this, they're doing that? They will not understand you. But you know, you as a child of God, if you wait for God, he will be totally responsible for you. He will make sure that you will not miss a thing. The second reason why God wants us to wait is to build up our faith. As we have said in Psalm 27 verse 14, wait on the Lord, be strong. What that means is that we need to wait in faith for the Lord. Let our faith be strengthened by God through waiting. You know, after 40 years in the wilderness, Moses' faith, his confidence in himself, was completely dealt with by the Lord. In fact, when God called him to surface from the burning bush, you know what Moses said? He said, well, no, you look for the wrong person. I'm not capable of doing anything right now. I can't even speak properly. 40 years ago, that would not be the kind of answer Moses had. So this 40 years, God built him up in his trust in the Lord. After his faith was now totally rest in God, not in his own strength, Moses can now say, it's not I, but Christ, to be honored, to be loved, and to be exalted. It is not I, but Christ, to be seen, to be known, and to be heard. That's the kind of heart attitude of Moses. Because his faith is now built up by the Lord, he is able to face Pharaoh without backing down. Actually, when you think about Moses, I mean, he was constantly, throughout the entire time of leading the Israelites, he was constantly under pressure, either from the Egyptian or from the complaining of the elders of the Israelite. But he did not run away. He did not back down. Because of the 40 years where God has taken away his self-confidence so that he can put his full confidence in God and God only. Brothers and sisters, through waiting on God, our faith is built up. We can face up to the difficult situation. Our circumstance may be darkened because we have waited for the Lord. We have the assurance that God will has given us the clear instruction. And as a result, when we face hardship, we will not run. As when we face difficulty, we will not quit. That's the reason why God wants us to wait. The third reason why God wants us to wait is this. He is preparing us for the challenge to come. He is preparing us. You know, many people I would say most people cannot handle God's blessing. That is why God needs to train us in His way. The Lord said, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way that you ought to go. I will counsel you with my eyes. Take a look at Joseph. We know that the Lord has already promised Joseph in a prominent position when he was young. And yet, the Lord has to put him through as a slave in Potiphar's house. The Lord has to put him through as a prisoner in the dungeon in order to prepare him, to make him to be ready for the big challenge to come. And that is the day when he was made the prime minister of Egypt. About 150 years ago, a brother called George Mueller, he had to feed 100 orphans every day with no church donation, no government grant. And in fact, he made a pledge to God that he would never ask anyone for donation for his orphan thing. And all this time, he wanted totally to depend on the Lord, to wait for the Lord's supply for the 100 orphans that he has. Now, this is a very challenging lesson for him, to wait onto the Lord like this. Oftentimes his faith is tested to the max. And he knew that God's supply is like the ocean, the water in the ocean, which is limitless. And yet God's supply to him was like squeezing out just a few drops of water so that he could sustain his operation almost one day at a time. He has a good friend called Henry. Henry was a pastor, and Henry knew the difficulty George was in, and he counseled George. He said, George, the method of not asking anybody for money is foolish. It doesn't work, because this is the reason why your orphanage is constantly lack of fund, lack of supply. All you need to do is to go to the Christian circle and tell them that the things that you need, your financial need, and they will donate the money for your need. You know, George, you have 100 orphans who depends on you. It is like almost like you are a father to them. You cannot be irresponsible like this. What? Being foolish and just wait on God? Wait for him to supply you? George replied his good friend. He said, no, you're wrong. I am not the father of the 100 orphans. God is their real father. God is the father to the fatherless. This is the promise God, that this is the promise of God that George held on to all this time. He kept up his faith in waiting on God, and God has not failed him even once in 6.5 years. But you may then wonder why God wanted to keep his servant waiting all this time. It seems that God is always withholding his full blessing to his children. And it seems that we're always being kept waiting for God. Why did God do this? God do this because he wanted to prepare us who are his vessel for greater blessing to come. What God is trying to do is to enlarge our capacity so that when he pours down his blessings, we can handle it properly, that we will not be spoiled by his blessings. Without the training of the precious lessons of waiting on God, we are not prepared to handle the blessings that God is going to pour down upon us. For those, because we have many young people in here, I want to say a word. For those people who are waiting for your second half, You know that the reason why you're waiting is because God is preparing you and your future spouse. You're not ready. That is why it is a blessing, but it is also a challenge when you get into a marriage life. The way you are right now, you are just simply not ready. If you jump ahead of God, you get yourself into a mess, a big mess. Now, I know that some of you in your heart, you say, well, you know, I'm not even thinking about, you know, these kind of things. For those people who say that are usually those people who are most desperate. I know that. Why did God keep George in such a tight rope for 6.5 years? Because God has prepared this vessel for a greater blessing. Without this training, brothers and sisters, George Mueller would not be able to handle the responsibility of feeding 2,000 orphans in 5 huge buildings in Ashley Down in England. These children who has been brought to Christ, many of them have become the children of God. And all these are made possible because George Mueller learned the lesson of waiting on God faithfully. The fourth reason, God desires our company and our dependence on Him. That's the reason why God wants us to wait. You know that? Our hearts, unfortunately, are always going out to the world, the physical world, the material world. We only come to God when we need something. As soon as our needs are met, guess what? Our heart flies out to somewhere else. God wants us to learn to dwell in His presence, to enjoy staying in the house of God. You know, the brother of the prodigal son complained to his father. He said that, all these many years I've been serving you, I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat so that I can make merry with my friends, so that I can enjoy with my friend. You see, the older son, he does not understand the heart of his father. He thinks that his service is what his father is looking for. But what his father really wants is not that much of his service, but his companionship that he is in the house. He doesn't understand. And this, in a way, reflects our situation too. Brothers and sisters, you know why God is so pleased with David, who is called a man after God's own heart? In Psalm 16, David said, Thou art my God. I have no good beside you. I have set the Lord continually before me. That's what the Lord desires for each and every one of us. And he said, because he is in my right hand, I will not be shaken. My heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will dwell securely. Thou hast made known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. This matter of drawing close to the Lord, waiting on the Lord, and enjoying the presence of the Lord has become a lost art in the Christian circle today. Through waiting on God, we draw near to Him. We draw near to God. We desire His presence. This is what He wants. This is what God wants. We enjoy the sweetness of God coming into our heart. If we do that, if we want to be a companion of God, then we can certainly say, Lord, you are precious. You are more precious than silver. You are more costly than gold. You are more beautiful than diamond. And nothing compares with you. Brothers and sisters, this is the desire. This is the reason why God wants us to wait. Now, how do we wait on the Lord? How do we wait on Him? The first thing is we need to wait actively, not passively. You can see that in Psalm 27, verse 14. You can sense an active waiting because
David said, wait on the Lord.
Yes, wait on the Lord. Many think that waiting on the Lord is, it means to do nothing. No, you're wrong. Waiting on the Lord, it means a purposeful waiting. In other words, if the Lord asks you to wait, you continue to be faithful to Him, to remain to do whatever you're currently doing. You don't drop everything. Well, okay, since I'm waiting for the Lord, and you're doing nothing. No. Most of the time, God never asks us to stop and do nothing while waiting for Him. How do we wait for God actively? How do we do that? We need to learn what it means by what Paul said. We need to pray unceasingly. Not only just in prayer meeting, not only just during our three meals, but we need to, throughout the day, we need to speak to God. We need to commune with Him. We need to be faithful to the daily routine that God has given us. Just because God wants us to wait does not mean that we don't need to do anything. We need to spend our time wisely. How often do we talk to God? Our attitude in active waiting ought to be like what it is described in Psalm 123, verse 2, where it says, as the eyes of the servant look to the hand of the master, as the eyes of the maid look to the hands of her maiden, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until He is gracious to us. This is the kind of active, purposeful waiting attitude that we ought to have. How do we wait on the Lord? The second thing is we need to wait expectantly. In other words, we expect that God is good and He is going to do good things for us. He is going to be gracious to us. We should expect that God will do wonderful things in our life. In other words, our spirit has to be on the alert. The problem with us is that many times we ask the Lord for something, and then later on, when God did not respond quickly, we just simply forget what we ask. Not even talk about expectation. There is no expectation. Why should we have such expectation in waiting? The attitude of expectancy is to sharpen our discernment as to what God is doing in our life. We will be able to see how wonderful God can put the seemingly unrelated pieces of puzzle together in our life. If you have that attitude of expectancy. George Mueller, once again, using his example, he wanted to build orphanage, and he need £10,000. £10,000, 150, 160 years ago, in today's money, is millions of dollars. Okay? A huge amount. He prayed every day for it. He prayed and he expect God to do it. He prayed until the 36th day, and all of a sudden, there's an envelope coming into his orphanage. He opened the thing, his wife opened the things up. It's a draft for £1,000. His wife was so excited. She told George, she said, George, you know what? This is the biggest once-time donation we ever get. This is just unbelievable. But George, how come you're so calm about this thing? The reason why George is so calm about this is because he has been expecting it. He knew that God is going to provide. So it did not come to him as a surprise. The third thing we need to learn is we need to learn to wait patiently before the Lord. Just like planting a seed, when we make a request, we will not all of a sudden expect that tomorrow we will receive fruit from the tree. No. Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. This wait patiently means we need to rest. We need to learn to trust Him. Patient means to endure. And to wait silently, in other words, means quiet meditation. When we wait in silence, it means that we do not argue with God. You know, many times when we wait before the Lord, we always argue with God. God, how come this? God, how come that? But to wait silently, quietly before the Lord is no argument. We learn not to argue with God. We learn not to question God as to why He's putting us through such a difficult situation. No. We learn to trust Him in quietness. We look to Him as our rock, as our salvation, as our state, as our stronghold. If we do this, our soul cannot disturb us. Our mood will not, we will be able to put our mood under control. That's why, that's the kind of lessons we need to learn. Now, I don't have time for this example, so I'm going to skip that. Fourthly, we need to learn to wait courageously. To be courageous is not the absence of fear, no, but it is to remain calm and steadfast in the midst of fear. That's what it is. How to have this kind of courage? Psalm 130 verse 5 tells us, I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in thy word do I trust. It is the word of God that gives us the courage to face difficulty. The word of God is the promise of God. When we have the word of God, the promise of God, when we face difficulty, we will not back down. Because we say, God, this is your word, this is how you promised, and I'm not gonna question, I'm not gonna back down on this. You wait courageously. Again, give you a little example of George Mueller. There was this one time when the supply in the orphanage is coming down and down and down until that evening his co-worker told him, well, George, we have nothing left. We have no more food left. And George said, let's just wait on to the Lord. The next morning come, and then, of course, there is breakfast time. So all the 100 orphans, they gather together, and the servants, the co-workers, hey, George, what are we going to do? There's nothing in the kitchen. It's all gone. George said, set up the table. Put up the dishes and the utensils and so on and so forth. And they did. And then he said, okay, let's bow and give thanks to the Lord. And as soon as he finished giving thanks to the Lord, there's a knock on the door of the orphanage. A baker who had a big loaf of bread. Out of nowhere, just show up at the door and supply the need of 100 orphans that day. We must learn to lay hold of God's words in this way. Now, I want to say this. George is not putting God to the test. The reason why he was so confident is because of the word of the Lord. Because the Lord has spoken to him with this. The Lord said, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. George laid hold of this promise of the Lord. And he stood up without backing down. And he experienced the wonderful providence of the Lord. I want to say, what is the consequences of not waiting on God? Or what are the consequences of not waiting on God? When we fail to wait, we get out of God's will. You say, well, I think I know what to do. Even when you are doing what God wants you to do, and yet, if you do not do it in God's time and in God's way, guess what? This is obedient as far as God is concerned. You are getting out of God's will. And you will bring confusion, frustration, and failure to yourself. You become vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. Just give you a quick example. In the battle the Israelites had with Ai. After they have fought a victorious battle in Jericho, they thought that Ai is just an easy target. They did not consult God, and they just went ahead, and we knew the story. It was a total disaster for them. If you do not wait on God, you actually get out of God's will. Secondly, we delay God's plans, blessing for our life, if we do not wait for God. God will postpone His blessing until we have greater faith. The Israelites, they were at the door of Canaan at the end of 2 years. And yet, because all those 2 years, they have not learned the lessons of waiting on God. Every time when they have certain kind of a problem, and when they lack water, they complain to God, and then they never think about if God can provide us with water. He can certainly provide us with bread. They just each and every time and time again, they keep on complaining. As a result, they will turn back to the wilderness and wander in the wilderness for another 38 years before they finally made it in. Number three, if we fail to wait on God, we bring to ourselves pain and heartache. You say, the situation for me is too tough. The situation at home for me is too tough. I'm quitting. I'm leaving. I'm not going to continue to wait on the Lord to work out my situation. No, I'm not going to do that. You will only cause more pain in your life if you do this. Remember David? He said to himself, I will perish one of these days in the hands of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistine. We know the end result of that decision. His entire family was taken by the Amalekite. Number four, if we fail to wait before the Lord, we always hurt someone else for our failure to wait. We, brothers and sisters, we do not live in an island, okay? Our family member, church member, people around us, they are going to suffer because we fail to wait. Remember David's follower? After they have lost everything in Ziklag, his followers were so distressed because of David's decision. And as a result, they wanted to stone David. It will always hurt others around us. Number five, it brings confusion to our life if we are not waiting on God. What do you mean? Well, you see, many Christians, they never ask God sincerely, what do you want me to do in life? They just go through the motion of schooling, of getting married, of doing work routine without a sense of direction, because they never bothered to come and seek God and ask God. And if we always run away from God and go our own way in this situation, some decisions are irrevocable. And as a result, it always brings confusion. At the end of the day, you look at your life, you say, what have I done to myself? The last consequence, we missed out God's best for us if we do not wait for God. Remember Saul, before he was to fight the battle with the Philistine, Samuel asked him to wait 7 days in Gilgal. But he did not wait because he was impatient. He did not wait because he was fearful that the people was departing from him. And because of his failure to wait, Samuel said to him, you have acted foolishly. Because he offered sacrifice himself. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, which he commands you. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever if you would have waited. But now, your kingdom shall not endure. In this case, Saul missed out God's best for him. We can miss out God's best for us. If we are so hard-headed, if we say to ourselves, the heck with God, I'm going to just go and do it my way. There are two things We don't need to wait. The first thing is salvation of the Lord Jesus. It's a finished work, and it's ready for all sinners to come and receive it now. There's no need for waiting. I don't know if there's anyone in here who has not yet come to know the Lord. If you have not yet come to know the Lord, don't wait outside the door of salvation. This is your moment. Salvation is ready. You need to come and you need to receive it, and receive it now. Don't tarry outside the door of salvation. The second thing about things that we don't need to wait as a Christian is that we do not need to wait to begin to learn this lesson of waiting on God. Brothers and sisters, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart when the Israelites provoke me. Our waiting on God should start now, N-O-W. Often, we are aware of our shortcoming and sin, you know, when it comes to things like this. All these things would become our hindrance in our waiting on the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let it not be so. Don't forget our very starting point in waiting on God is our absolute impotence. That's our starting point in waiting on God. Why not just simply come with everything that you feel evil in yourself, with every unwillingness that you think you have, or unfaithfulness, or even self-condemnation? Why don't you come just the way you are? Put your trust in the all-merciful and omnipotent God. And you will find that waiting on God become your true deliverance from anxiety. Today you are so tense, you're so worried of so many things. It's because you haven't started to learn the lesson of waiting. Some of you say, well, you know what? I've tried before and it doesn't work. I fell. Let me tell you, your failure was due to only one thing. What is that thing? You sought to obey God by your own strength. You need to come. You need to bow before God until you learn what God, who God is. That God is good. And you need to believe in your heart. Only God can provide the will to wait on Him. Waiting on God in this case will become a renewed strength to run the race. Waiting on God will become a strength where you will not be weary and to walk in His path and will not faint. How do we practice this waiting on God matter? There are many books talking about waiting on God. But I find one thing that is most useful, most helpful to me. And that was a little article written by Martha Robinson. You guys know this author, this sister, Martha Robinson? She's the author of a book, a wonderful book called Radiant Glory. I think it's probably in our library. If not in the English library, it's in the Chinese library. I find this article that she wrote was most practical, down-to-earth, and useful to me. And I'll read this thing to you. Listen up. That's what she said. Whenever you can, take a few moments of just waiting on Jesus. Not necessarily praying, but just waiting. You know what I'm saying? Many times we come to the Lord and then we have a bunch of requests. But she said, not necessarily praying, but just waiting. Looking into His face, desiring His presence. At first, you may not seem to receive much. But if you take every opportunity, your soul will begin to hunger for Him. And the sweetness of Himself will come to you. You will be like lovers. Rather slip away with Him just for a minute or two than to talk, than to read or rest or eat.
when you are tired, rushed, nervous, a few minutes of Him in the stillness of His presence will rest you more than anything else in this world. Very important. If we look at Jesus more and more and more, and ourselves and our friends, our trials, our failures, our conditions of life, or the world, or the flesh, or even the devil less, if we do that, we would reflect His image more and more. And the hardness, the impurity, the temper, the selfishness would certainly fade into the background. It would fade away. And tenderness and purity and gentleness and love would take their places, changing us from glory to glory. As it is said by Paul, we all with unveiled face, reflecting as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Brothers and sisters, when you practice this thing, the first hindrance that you're going to have is there will be a lot of noises. Noises from within, noises from without. You just simply need to come. You need to just call upon His name. Start praising Him. Simple sentence. You can just simply sing the song that we just put up. To keep your lovely face ever before my face. This is my prayer. Make it my strong desire that in my secret heart no other love compete, no rival throne survives, and I serve only you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you would draw our wayward heart to be willing to come before you. Lord, you know our failures. You know our weaknesses. You know how far we have been away from you. And yet all this time, you are like that Heavenly Father, waiting before the house, waiting for the prodigal's heart to return. We pray that you would give us the desire to come to learn this lesson of waiting on God. Yes, there will be a lot of disturbances when we start learning. But Lord, we know that if we so desire to have you in our life, to come to know you better, Lord, it is you who will make it possible for us to live this kind of life. Come and bless your people in this way. In your precious name we pray.